Live from the heart of the universe, this is the online edition of the Life Changes Show.
Look at the bright lights. Look at the bright
lights. With tonight's guest, breathwork coach, philosopher, and lifelong martial artist, Chris Tai. And performance guest, Yoga Ship. I am Mark Leisure, and now our host, the MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
This is our episode 853, and we've titled it Learning How to Embrace Being Human. We were inspired for that title by our guest, Chris Tai, who teaches people how to be human. Well, we'll talk about that because he teaches people how to feel, how to choose, and how to live. Now, interestingly enough, this weekend I was having a conversation with a musical friend of mine, and he was saying, we were talking about a particular artist from the 70s and one from the 60s, and I was saying, you know, I liked their greatest hit was such and such. And my friend said, no, it wasn't. It was this. And I said, no, it actually wasn't that. It was definitely this. That one didn't even rank. And he said, well, that's interesting because that's his greatest hit right now. And so I said, what are you basing this on? He says, Spotify. And I thought, oh, that's interesting because when the song came out, the artist was of a certain age. It was of a certain time period. The music came out in a certain way. And now it's many years later. It's a different time. People are different. More people are listening to music on Spotify. And they're gravitating to different music. And so why is this relevant in this particular moment? Because one of those artists we were talking about was Johnny Cash. And I said his greatest hit, Ring of Fire. And he said, no, that wasn't his greatest hit. And I said, oh, was it? Maybe it was the other one. And now I'm forgetting what it was. I Walked the Line. And he said, no, it's not that either. He said, it's Hurt. I said, Hurt? He recorded Hurt? Like, which Hurt? There are a few of them. And he said, the Nine Inch Nails Hurt. Now, Nine Inch Nails is an industrial rock band or an industrial metal band. And Johnny Cash is a country artist, a gospel artist. And he was 70, indeed, when he covered Nine Inch Nails' song. And it indeed is his number one song today, even though he passed within a year after recording that song. I bring it up today because the lyrics of that song that this 70-year-old man decided to record and that people are resonating with right now to more than any of his other songs. Almost 700,000 just on Spotify alone have listened to this song. And the lyrics start out, I hurt myself today to see if I still feel. I focus on the pain, the only thing that's real. And I thought, okay, so when this song was originally written by Trent Reznor of Nine Inch Nails, he was feeling something. I don't know if Johnny Cash was feeling the same way, but people are, because they're listening to it over and over again. And a quick research, just really quickly, Breathe Me by Sia, same theme. Bleed Like Me by Garbage. Strawberry Gashes by Jack Off Jill. Skin by 6AM. Sharpener and Deer by Cavetown. I could go on and on this theme. I hurt myself just to see if I could feel. So this brings us back. And more importantly, we need to help each other bring us forward. And we're so grateful to have Chris Tye on the show, because people are needing to feel and learn how to choose and learn how to live and arguably how to be human.
Powerful opening. Thank you, Filippo. And yeah, super excited to have Chris back on, but back on and in a expanded way. He has so much to share and there's so many layers, so I'm excited to get that opportunity. But the nature of tonight is so topical. You set the stage so powerfully, and you know, humanity has been guided for a long time to further separateness and divisiveness and competition. And now we have the onset of all the AI tech. And I was talking to a friend of mine this morning about how more and more people are giving up their critical thinking to the devices, and or so in awe of the intelligence that's reflected back that they're not tapping into their own innate intelligence. So it's a really interesting moment in time where we have opportunities and choices to make as humans as to how we're going to show up and what we're going to really put our energy on. And then like our recent show, Reinstalling Community, you know, the need for a reconnection.
You know, it's interesting, Mark, when we were talking about Chris going to China to meditate in the mountains. And when he came back and I said, how was Chris's trip? And he said, great. Chris saw so much technology and came back and said all these things that we're going to talk about on the show. But the thing that rang so interesting to me is community. I'm thinking he went up in the mountains to kind of be alone and came back saying we need community. And he saw this tech and came back and said we need to be more human.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's not just the tech, but the different, I mean, we'll let him tell it here in a few minutes, but the exposure that he had to so many different masters and the onset of technology and being in the different cultures, I think further underscored what he already brings and the mindset that he already cultivates, which really expands on being human. I can't wait. This is going to be great.
He's a philosopher, so if not him, then who? Our interview guest is founder of Inhale Excel. He's a breathwork coach. He's a philosopher and lifelong martial artist, and he's a friend to us all here at the Life Changes Show. We welcome Chris Tye. Welcome, Chris.
Thank you so much, Filippo. Thank you, Mark. It's an honor and privilege, as always. And before starting, I will apologize for everything I'm going to say, everything I'm not going to say. Only 30 minutes, and my currency is time, attention. And so I'm going to do my best to share the depth of my thoughts and to be clear. And I wish to put a positive note in this might be dystopian future, but I think if we connect with our humanness, the truthful humanness, not the human we know, but the human we choose to become, we can do something incredible together.
Now that you've said that, Chris, what is it, in short, what is it that we know and what's our potential?
So before starting, I would like to start with this quote of one of my favorite writers, Albert Camus. Albert Camus say, don't let me walk in front of you, I may not lead. Don't let me walk behind you, I may not follow. Walk by my side and be my friend. And all this conversation, it's about walk by my side. Because as I shared, when I left like 3 months ago, I went to Thailand and China. Two Asian countries, two different mentalities. And I came back and I say, it's about community. Because in China, we have this idea, and I don't know why, in US, we kind of hide what's happening over there. There's so much more advanced as we think. My friend was doing like a show, martial show with robot, doing Tai Chi and moving around. The technology, the car, everything is more advanced. And even though it's like you can see the population, the gap, I feel like a farmer or someone like with not very stylish but connected. They pay only by phone. Everything they do is through WeChat, and everything is recorded. Everything is they have video camera everywhere. Face recognition. It's a little bit scary in a sense of if we are aiming that. My question is, what it means to be human? How we can stay human in this world? Or AI is just here, just to please us, to be agree with us, and somehow we're going to have very hard difficulty of rejection and opposition. And if we start to have everybody have a chip like Neuralink, I know everything on everything, and you know everything on everything. What is the point to connect? How are we going things we're going to just share data? This is a meaningful conversation. So when I was there, it was about what makes us human, meaning, movement, my mess. It's like this pursuit to be flawless, this pursuit about perfection. Who is perfection? Is death, because you cannot do something above. And before it was an idea. But maybe now we're going to be able to reach this perfection because I'm going to know everything about everything. And I could change my body. I could do all these advanced things. So maybe I think the most beautiful things in the future is going to be imperfection, is going to be full of flaws, owning your mess and have devotion for one thing, not to be good in everything like we try to do now. We want to be the best at the gym, the best father, the best husband, the best son, the best. But what is make us human is a journey, the becoming and the remembering, the remembrance of who we were and what we want to become. So this is what really impact me the most in my travel.
What is interesting is that, so I was asking you, what is our now? And technically, that is not our now, but that now could happen so fast for us, right? That we could be that, and then what? So we have to think fast or decide fast.
I think it's like it's that to plan who I choose to become now and to stand for my values, not for my need. And my need is dopamine, it's pleasure, it's desire, it's satisfaction, instant satisfaction. And the thing is like we're having that. Amazon, you get things in 24 hours. If something is not making your way, you find your way. What I mean, it's like what I saw in China, it's like a system. If you don't fit, it's okay. They are almost 2 billion. They can left on the side a million people for to reach some goal. And this goal is to be the first in technology, AI, AGI, SEI. So all the things like we are an AI. This time is not like AGI is something we think by himself also or itself. AI is just like a coding an algorithm serving us a purpose, but we're not talking about enhancement anymore. We are talking about replacement. And this is very different. Every technology was here to enhance human and their labor and to make more profit. But now AI is here to replace human and to make more profit. So one moment is going to collapse. But the idea is like, okay, we know that you have a ton of a podcast about that, or people are talking about that. What matter for me, how it can make a difference? If for me, it's about devotion. Devotion and one practice. To be good in one things. I don't need to be good in thousand things. And these things about to understand we are the chosen one. And when you say it's like pain is the only thing real, it seems it's what's happening, but we want to numb this pain with noise, with a distraction, with the dopamine. So for me, it's like to be born in this planet, the possibilities, it's 1 to 400 trillion. I mean, you, me, everybody on this earth, we are the chosen one. But very, very little people choose to choose. And this is make such a difference. Choose to choose to be the chosen one. This is a huge responsibility. How we become human with a capital H, what all the things mean, values, not to be good for, oh, my statue, I'm so good, I'm a saint. No, because it's for my own goodness and the goodness of humanity. This is a H human I'm searching for, not the human behavior like a parasite we became, or knowing now, it's like what we are doing, it's immoral. 100 years ago, we were immoral. We didn't know about the planet as we know now. We didn't know about climate change. We didn't know about how nuclear weapons were. We didn't know all these things, but now we know. And we're still doing the same thing. We don't learn from history. We're just repeating what civilization was doing, and we amplify exponentially because we can with technology. A technology without wisdom might be our end. Mm-hmm. Wisdom is so important. Reflection. And to stay, what matter for me? What matter? So now I think it's like by sharing this, what interesting me is my nervous system. Because we passed through the last 5 years, so many things, 10 years, like economic crash, COVID, and now it's like changement of government and all the things, uncertainty, our nervous system, it's so fired up. We don't know how to think anymore. We don't know how to connect. Everything feel like a threat. And when I was traveling in Thailand, I was seeing just people smiling, devoted to Thai massage, devoted to making coffee. I had this guy doing coffee, was incredible. And all the love he was putting for doing my coffee, I changed my hotel, my guest house. It was a boutique hotel. I went in this place because he was there. And every morning, it took maybe 8 minutes for to make me a double espresso.
Okay.
This was devotion. And the guy went to Bangkok for 24 hours because for a special coffee over there. And Chiang Mai is very known for coffee, but it was the same when I was doing Muay Thai. I was training with these guys and they say, because you talk about pain, the only thing is real. And they say, no pain, no Muay Thai. What does it mean, no pain, no Muay Thai? Mm. 50 years old, training martial art. Because when you pay for to do Muay Thai, you are privileged. Because these kids, they are 24 years old. They have 155. Why they have 155? Because they train for to get paid. Every week they fight, every week they get paid. Mm. The pain they take is for to feed their family, to feed their family. I was paying every day for training Muay Thai. And they say, are you going to fight? I say, no. So why do you train? Why do you endure so much pain? Because for me, you're right. Pain is a way, maybe because my life is comfortable or too much comfortable to feel aliveness.
Mm.
I don't avoid, I don't run away about pain because also in Chiang Mai, I did my full back and tattoo. And I did this traditional way with bamboo. And I stayed 8 hours. At the end, I have this monk who came to bless my tattoo. And yes, at the end, the pain was transcending my mind. And I wasn't so feeling really alive.
Wow. On the other side of the spectrum of no pain and having all the luxuries and everything we ever wanted, you shared with me an interesting experiment. Could you share that, please, with something 25?
Oh, yes. So the thing is like in the 60s, I think the name is just John Colum. I'm sorry if I don't say well his name. And they call it the Universe 25. And this 2D, they create this utopia. Utopia, the etymology of utopia, depend how you pronounce a U, can say nowhere, it doesn't exist, or it can be good place. The other side is dystopia, the bad place. So I share that with you because Universe 25 was a research, or they took 600 mice and it created this utopia environment. No predator, food, they were all healthy. And so they did, everybody have his own nest. The community at the beginning start to thrive. But one moment, females stopped to taking care of the baby. Male weren't interested about sex or mating. And this, it was because they didn't have more purpose. It was no need to survive, no need to thrive. Everything was so safe, so protected, so comfortable. So he started to call them the beautiful one. At the end, this colony, this utopia disappeared. They say, okay, so maybe we missed something.
Wow.
Maybe not was a great community, so we're going to repeat it. And they repeated this experiment several times, and every time the society, this utopia of mice disappeared. And they realized their issue was the lack of meaning. And so this is very important as a human. We weren't made for abundance. We were biologically made for scarcity. And now we have so much, we get numb. So it's why I was talking to you about this concept in Japan, shokunin, the devotion of one craft, to find meaning on doing something. And this doing over and over is a mastery, is a never ending. You can always carve more, polish more, put something more, because with maybe years, it's like a good wine. It become better, more aroma, more perfume, more body. And for me, the term shokunin is very interesting because my devotion is breath work. My devotion is to practice and to share all the tools I learned all around the world. It's why I went to Asia during 3 months because I was in Wudong and the source of Taoism. And this also I would like to share. So shokunin
Yes.
is really the devotion of the craft. And to do one things and without recognition, it doesn't matter. You do it because you have meaning for you, to you. And so yeah. Maybe I took a tangent.
So the utopia was really dystopian. It's the other way around. Because if the civilization of mice died over and over again, then they certainly either weren't happy or I don't know what it is actually. Haven't thought of
Okay,
that.
Filippo, did you learn about the hardest moment of your life? Did you learn a deeper lesson? This is really hardship lesson. They transform you.
Yeah.
So
Yeah.
you have, we say Satori, it's kind of illumination through bliss. But the contrary is Kensho. Kensho is illumination through pain. If we go back to pain, the only thing is real. But because it is always two sides on one coin, it's like we grew up through stress. You're born, when you grow up, fracture, it grew up. So it's like every time you jump, you go to the gym, it's like, or you do something like beyond what you understand is stressful. You have two types of stress, distress and eustress. So you become dystopian. It's like when you don't have meaning, when everything is perfect, he's dead. You cannot do nothing above perfection, Filippo.
Wow. Wow.
So seeking this process is one thing. It can create paralysis, procrastination, but at least you have this momentum, this moving forward, this pause, this longing, this belonging, all this sensation. But now, if I had a chip in my mind, I know everything on everything. I can cook any dishes. I can paint like Van Gogh because I'm plugged to the same iCloud as you. So now, if you know everything, you can do everything. I can do. What will be our exchange here, Filippo? What will be the lesson? What will be the meaning?
Wow.
So in this moment, Alan Watts have these beautiful things. He say, imagine your life is a dream. And in your dream, you can do everything you want. You can have everything you want, all the fantasy, all the money, everything. So you're going to live this dream, party, do all the pleasure, the lust, everything. But how long? After 1 year, you say, you know what? What happened if I jump out of this cliff? Because it's a dream. They say, oh, wow. What happened if I fight with this person? Wow. What happened if my heart is broken? Wow. What happened if I lose the person I love the most? At
Wow.
one moment, you will desire things you cannot have, pain, rejection, because this is part of our story. It's how we can grow, not from history, because everything is written in books, but only through my story, because this challenge, this opposition, this friction made the person I am today. So today for me, it's about acceptance. Acceptance, I'm 50. Acceptance, my body decay. Acceptance, things I won't be never. Or maybe things I experiment and it was the last time in my life, not knowing it was my last time. All the things make this life so much flavorful, so much more appreciation for me.
So if we have pain or rejection without asking for it, we should rejoice because we're alive.
Filippo, exactly. If not, you're just going to exist. It to be an empty container.
I've been very alive for a while.
Thank you, Mark.
You're welcome.
I know. So it's like I want to share about the Tao and the Buddhism perspective
Yes,
because
please.
it's very interesting. So I was 1 month in a wooden mountain with Taoist monk. And the thing is, like, when I was studying Buddhism, it was a for to get enlightenment, at least you have three life here. As good you are, no matter how you study, how good you are, you will come back three times. This is a minimum. It's like, it's almost like when you go to jail, you say your sentence is this, 5 years. So as a human, each human, your minimum sentence is three life for Buddhist. But what it was interesting when I was with a Taoist, why they are so obsessed with longevity? I say, what is the purpose to be immortal? Because they say we want just one life for to do the work, one life for to embed ourselves, to be in harmony with the universe, to be in harmony with society, it to be in harmony with ourselves. Only one life. At this moment, we can reach the heaven, eternity. So this is the only difference between Taoist for me and Buddhism.
Wow.
Because for me, enlightenment, to seek enlightenment is a desire. As a Buddhist, it's like eliminate all desire, like that you won't suffer. But I choose to be human. I choose to have desire. I choose to have this complexity. You remember I say we are all the chosen one. But how many of us choose to choose? How many of us choose acceptance of the pain? Because we talk about God, we talk about spirituality only when it's convenient for us. But the thing is, like, it's beyond my understanding. It's beyond your understanding. We're just scratching the surface of things now with quantum physics, all the things. But we were making a projection of God, like a human appearance or human ID. It's beyond. I think everything is the way it meant to be. And you and me were the chosen one if we have the possibility to choose, despite the challenge, despite the hate, despite all the emotion we have. It's why AI is better than us, because it's not an emotional entity. It's a rational entity. And we pretend to be rational. We are just emotional being all the time. When we buy something is emotional. When we choose someone is emotional. Everything we do is just based on emotion. And after that, we put the layer of rationality.
So we're better at that than AI is.
I think, yes, because somehow the beautiful things is like we can choose. AI doesn't choose. It's a program.
You know, by the way, we can't let the chosen ones get to our head, because you were saying something about no matter how many lifetimes, not everybody is going to be a Buddha or a Jesus, right?
Yes. Yeah, for me, I never asked for to be a Buddha. I'm happy to be me. I'm happy to have this life. I feel privileged. I feel privileged despite all the challenge. I was able to see who I am, because only through this, what you call pain, I was able to define my values and not trade them for my needs. I was able to serve my community and to find solution to share with them, but like walk by my side. I always say now, it's like, don't be the flame, be the light, like a lighthouse. And my hardest things for me is recognition, to do it without recognition. And I'm working a lot about that, because maybe I get like a bit like confused with social media, where I see people are not doing the work. When I was in China and Thailand, I met a lot of teacher, very famous, very well known, but they're great marketer, but they were the worst teacher I ever met. I'm not going to drop name here, but two of the most famous teachers, one in Thailand, Chiang Mai, and another one in China, weren't practitioner really, just a good marketer. And I saw that all the time. How many times it's like I've got teacher and breathwork coming and they don't know their anatomy, and they are very good marketing, they're beautiful on camera. And it's not like envy or a bitterness. It's just like about community. Yeah, I know I get amazing community in Malibu, because I put all my heart, everything I learn, I do my best to simplify it, to share with my community like that they have tools daily, because to be human is not easy. And happiness, to seeking this concept of happiness, is insane. It doesn't exist. What exists is this fortitude to face challenge and to enjoy this moment of pause and joy and accumulate the maximum moment of joy, connection, meaning. It's almost like, as I share with Marco, I never ask to the people, how are you doing if I don't have the time? Good to see you. Because in this moment, I'm really honest with myself, with this person. I'm happy to see you. It's good to see you. But I don't have the time and interest to ask you, how are you doing? Because I get a client to train, client to coach, or something to do. But if I ask you, how you're doing, I don't want to talk about the weather. I want to look at people and to know really how is your life.
Hear, hear. You know, as we're wrapping up this short time we have together, and thank you for sharing not only your philosophy, your learning, and also your teaching. And this AI that you talked about is coming. Like it's what we already have, but it's also more advanced than we already have, and so it's undoubtedly coming. So we have some choices to make. One of the choices is to choose to be the chosen one, to choose to be human, to choose to be perfect in our imperfection, or however it is that you say that. What are other choices that we can make and ways of being that we could start to consider on our way to this new world, dystopian or utopian? In either way, we need to find some kind of harmony with ourselves and it and nature, right?
So it's going to be boring what I'm going to say. Maybe it's like not like shining because we want like a magic formula. Devotion and discipline. No motivation and to be aware of what is coming. I always say it's better to be a warrior in a garden rather to be a gardener in a battlefield. This is what I practice daily. I practice martial art, meditation, breathing, movement. I'm strong in my body, I'm strong in my mind because it's not we are not in the game if now. We're in the game when. It's very different. It's not if this happened, it's when it's coming. It can be in a year and 2 years, 3 years, or before. And the thing is, like for me, discipline beat motivation. Whatever it is, I show up. I don't care who is a president. I do my meditation. I don't care if it's raining or sunny. I do my practice. I go to the gym. I take care of myself because self-care is the highest form of self-love. So all these principles, it's about how I can regulate my nervous system and turn off the noise. TV is garbage because it makes you believe things that are not the way they are. It's just a lens or distort reality. As I say, in Thailand, I didn't see what I saw in China. I didn't see what I saw here in US. And this separation, it's like if you we have more time, we can talk where we come from, hydrogen and carbon. This is what made our body. It's what made the same the stars, where we come from the same source. So it could be a longer conversation, but what I mean is like devotion and discipline. Be devoted on one thing. How my life can serve myself and others.
Let's real quickly share with people a little bit about what you do and how they could be served, not only from having heard and learned from you, but also get to experience breath work and the more that you do.
So the only thing I do, it's Instagram, and I teach mostly in Malibu Fitness. I think it's the best gym in the world. I'm going to say that. And Malibu. And mostly now it's like I stay home. I stay home close to my community and serving. So I'm creating, it's not creating. I'm leaning about the last human standing. What does it mean? What does it mean to be human? What is my purpose? What I'm going to do here? Because in two or three generation, nobody's going to remember my name like I never existed on this planet. But somehow, my life as yours is important. And until then, I'm not replaced. You are not replaced, Filippo. So to be human is an act of rebellion. To stand your ground is to unplug yourself. So to connect, to look at the people. To think you are doing good in this life. This is really the purpose. This is my mission. And this is what I share when I do breath work here in Malibu. And I don't know, maybe somewhere else. I don't know yet.
Okay, in the meantime, people can follow you on Instagram at inhalexcel_com. So inhale XL, inhalexcel_com, COM. And that's where you'll find them. If you didn't get that, we have the link at the Life Changes Show page on our website, and we hope to add a few more. And whatever it is that you do and do next, please let us know so we can share more and hopefully have more conversations enlightening like this with you, Chris.
Thank you so much, Filippo. And yes, it's inhale, exhale, exhale like excellence. It's master your breath, excel in life.
Wonderful. Chris Tai, a pleasure. Thank you so much. Until next time.
Thank you, Filippo. Thank you, Mark. Thank you, everybody. It was a real pleasure.
Thank you, Chris.
It just feels so short. I just so enjoy his philosophy.
Chris is he's there's so many layers, and there's a realness that we're missing these days in general. You always know what he's thinking. He's very clear with his opinions. And yet they're heartful. So he comes from a blunt yet caring and compassionate perspective, and it's refreshing to have that and to be challenged to look at the way you look at things and to, you know, be inspired to be better.
He obviously lives by that himself.
He does. He's definitely authentic, and that was one of the reasons I was attracted to him, and have had some massive transformations in various sessions that he's done, some different modalities that he teaches. He's got layers of wisdom that he's integrated, so it's not just one modality. He sandwiches so much information, tools, and experience that he's able to serve up unique experiences from different perspectives, and it's not just, you know, in one vein or another, you know, where you go in, you have a class and you leave. There's a much more layered combination of mental, physical, spiritual.
We all need more of that. I can feel it. And so I'm really glad.
On our way there, you should start designing your full back tattoo, Filippo.
I you know, actually that sounded like hurt. It
you'll feel so alive.
Thank you, Mark. Thank you for the reminder. And with that, it's time for our Ask Dorothy segment.
Dear Dorothy, this is Amelia, and as you know, I've been married for 15 years to a man that I love, but I am not in love with. I feel like I must get a divorce and just don't know how to tell him that our marriage is over. Please help.
Dear Amelia, I'm really sorry you're facing this difficult decision. It's a deeply painful place to be knowing something is over in your heart, but still having to speak it aloud to someone you care about. The fact that you still love him, even if you're not in love with him, makes this even more emotionally complex. That said, honesty shared with kindness could be your way through this life-changing moment. However, before you speak to him, please get very clear with yourself by asking a few questions regarding your decision to ask for a divorce. Are you certain that divorce is the path you want? Is there anything unresolved or unspoken in your heart that needs to be acknowledged first? Guilt, fear, sadness, or hope? You might want to write down the answers to these questions. If after answering these questions you still feel you want to divorce, take a few moments to find the right words before you tell him what you want. And it is important to choose the right time and place for this life-changing conversation. Pick a quiet, private moment where you can both be emotionally present, and please avoid doing it during a stressful or chaotic time, like during an argument or at a family event. Also, make sure there's enough space after the conversation for him to process. So don't do this before work or right before sleep. Most importantly, speak from the heart with kindness and clarity. You don't need to give every reason or defend yourself. The more sincere and grounded you are, the more it will land. Here's an example of what you might say. I've been sitting with something very hard for a long time. This is one of the most difficult things I've ever had to say because I care about you deeply and we've built so much together. But I need to be honest with both of us. I love you and I always will, but I'm no longer in love with you. I've tried to reconnect with that feeling, but it hasn't come back. It wouldn't be fair to either of us to keep pretending. I think it's time for us to move on separately so that we can both have the chance to be truly fulfilled. Amelia, after speaking your truth, you can expect grief, expect confusion, maybe anger. Do your best to not take any of it personally, as it's a response to his heartbreak. So be willing to listen to him, but you don't need to retreat. Let him speak, cry, rage, or ask questions, but say, stay centered on your truth. After the talk, you might suggest that you could both see a therapist so he could gain a better understanding of why you feel this is what you want for the highest and best good for both of you. And please, dear Amelia, keep anchoring into your truth. If guilt or doubt creeps in, and know that you're not selfish for wanting out. You're brave for choosing honesty, and you're still loving, even in letting go of this man. I look forward to hearing from you once you have lovingly freed yourself from a situation you no longer desire to live with.
Thank you, Dorothy. And if you have a question for Dorothy, embrace being human and feel alive. Write her at AskDorothy@LifeChangesShow.com.
And for our performance segment, we have a musician and producer of immersive emotional soundscapes and psychedelic, ambient, soulful music. We've got Yoga Ship on the Life Changes Show. Welcome, Yoga Ship.
Hey guys, how are you?
As you can tell, we're great. We're alive. We've chosen to be so. And thank you for choosing to be here with us today.
Yeah, I totally support that idea.
And I know you do, actually. We actually spoke on a couple of these things that have come up already with Chris Tai, and some of your music relates beautifully, and we'll get to hear that in just a moment. Actually, where did... I know what you're going to say. So your inspiration for some of what you do is some of the artists you're going to mention. However, when people say they're inspired by those artists, sometimes they sound like them, or sometimes they have elements of what they do in the music. That's not the case with you. So how are you inspired by the artists you're going to talk to us about?
Are you talking about Nirvana and Kurt Cobain, right?
Yes.
Well, I don't know. It was a time in my life, you know, I was a teenager, and I guess that what was popular at that time, and it just touched my heart. And I think it's not necessarily I make like a grunge music, but I definitely learned from Kurt Cobain how to pull out the emotion, I think. And yeah, but the rest, you know, like just like as a narcissist, just you living life, growing, kind of listening to other artists, and just also getting inspired by other artists as well. And yeah.
Yeah, Radiohead, Pink Floyd. I mean, it's really interesting. And I actually tried to listen for some of those elements, and I knew it was something else. It's something, there's something that else that you've gotten that they've inspired in you. In the meantime, you're inspiring in other people and want to, not only through your music, but the styling around your music. Tell us about that, from clothes and the whole immersive type of experience.
Well, I can't pull out a specific person for that, but to me, just more, you know, just living life of artists and self-exploration. And you begin somewhere and go somewhere. And I think eventually I got to that type of the music in my life. And that's where I found myself, that it's just me, and that continue to explore that subject and developing this art form, which is like, I think it's beyond music. So like, and that's why I just went towards the look as well. And it just became, I think it just more as a reflection on the music. And that's how it felt. It just felt something like this, you know, that type of like closing hats. Because I think, yeah, just my probably fantasy on music I make, you know, how it would look like visually.
Interesting, with colors and textures and all of that. Wonderful. Well, actually, speaking of colors and textures and wonderful, we get to experience some of your music. Now, all your themes, from what I can tell so far, are deep. Eclipse sounds deep to me. Tell us about that song that we're going to hear now.
Well, that song, specifically that song, was, I think, it was a reflection on the past relationships. And yeah, just like probably it was, that's it, just like I collected some emotions together, and some moment was like a therapy for me as well. And yeah, and just put it in this melody.
So this is Yoga Ship's pre-recorded song that we're going to broadcast here, Eclipse, here on the Life Changes Show. Yoga Ship here on the Life Changes Show. Yoga Ship can be found on all the socials at Yoga Ship, and I'll spell that YogaShyp. We also have links for him at the Life Changes Show page. You know, while we're on that yoga, let's real quickly talk about Yoga Ship, which everybody thinks is a great name. I mean, everybody I've talked to, wow, what a great name. And they think like friendship or, I thought kind of like alien ship or something like that, but it's actually your name.
Yes, it is. It's a question. It's pretty funny, right? That I would say actually, Ship is my last name, my real last name, and Yoga has been my nickname since I was a kid. So, like, you know, like, and just it came out from my kind of short calling for my real name, and just stuck with me. And I think later, just you know, like everyone knows me by name Yoga among my friends. So like eventually it became my stage name, and it's just not something what I planned. It just came out natural.
And you
And
didn't know what yoga was when you were a kid.
It's pretty funny because like when I'm looking back, I realize I really didn't have idea what it means. It was just like, is this something about Buddha? What? Like, you know, I
Wow.
mean, yeah.
That's great. So, Yoga, before we listen to the last song, Ego Death, it actually follows that you see what you do as an artist, as a musician, as a music creator, almost shamanistically, right? And where does that come from, and where, how do you see it being used?
Yeah, I mean, I like the concept kind of being a shaman in the way that if you look to like what shaman does in tribes, I'm talking about traditional things, you know, like this tribal culture. It's usually the person who carries the knowledge of like of the past, right? Just like the stories, the mythology, but also it's a medium between other dimensions and the present or like life of tribe. And basically it's like in normal days it can be just a guy, the others in the tribe, but when it needs, he puts on this like clothes and takes his drum and beats that drum. So like manipulating the frequencies and the rhythm. And so he just goes to that hypnotizing thing, like with the, you know, manipulating with the sounds actually. And that's why I just look at the music the same way, just when just performing music, or yeah, just kind of the same way, just like being on the stage, manipulating with the frequencies and taking people to the journey to other dimensions, or yeah, some other places,
Where
you
do you
know.
want people to go with Ego Death?
Well, the conception of that song was, it's actually interesting because like the melody I wrote when I was on my trip to Bali some years ago, and I love the melody, like this like simple chord progression. But then just I always felt like it was to me too sweet, and somehow it just struck me this can be just about ego death, the conception of the song. So I followed that conception, and yeah, I just that what it happened in the end. It's just like sweet melody, but it's about ego death, the idea of losing yourself, you know, like maybe it just can be connected to psychedelic experiences when, you know, you're alive, but your ego dying and there is no self on the journey. So that's what it's on about.
Okay. Well, here is Yoga Ship's Ego Death, pre-recorded here on the Life Changes Show.
Thank you.
Yoga Ship here on the Life Changes Show. Again, yoga, Yoga, and Ship, Ship. Find him on all the socials as Yoga Ship, or find him at the Life Changes Show page under his name. Yoga, what a pleasure getting to know you and your music. Thank you for coming and sharing on the show.
Absolutely. It was a pleasure to talk to you. I wish we could have more time.
Yes,
sharing, but
you've got so many great stories as well. So hopefully again sometime.
Yeah, absolutely.
All the best to you. Thank you.
Bye.
And with that, big thank you to Yoga Ship, our performance guest, and another big thank you to our interview guest, Chris Tai. That is our show. On behalf of our executive producer, Dorothy Lee Donahue, and our executive producer and co-host, Mark Legere, and our whole family here at the Life Changes Show, I am your host, Filippo Voltaggio, reminding you that as your life changes, like ours surely did tonight, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to the Life Changes Show on the BBS Radio Network. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time and visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com, on Facebook at The Life Changes Show, and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.